Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine, and in the studio with me today, I have Jim Knaus. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing very good, getting used to the humidity up here and the rain.
Well, you're not used to humidity down in Dallas?
Not this much.
Okay. It's a dry heat then, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. And you have done some research, and you know all about the beginnings of Orchardville, right?
I know more about Orchardville than anybody, and probably more than anybody wants to know.
Okay, so are you putting this all together in a book, or?
Yes, I've put it together in a 200-page book, and I've sold several copies. It's available to anybody for free that wants to by sending me an email, and I can give them an email link for a free copy, but I do have printed books, too.
Okay, so what's the email link?
It is jim dot knauss at sbcglobal.net. That's a mouthful.
Okay. Jim Knaus at sbcglobal.net.
Right. And anybody that wants the free copy electronic, they can have it. Or if they want a book, they can send me their name and I'll get them a book.
Okay. So how did you come about to write all of this information down?
Well, it started back when I was in grade school. We had a substitute teacher named Vera Henson, and she had a way of telling things in a way that you could almost see it and feel it. And she used to talk about Orchardville in its heydays, which was back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And so I sort of got fascinated about it. And ever since then, I've gathered bits and pieces about Orchardville and put it together. And then with the internet, you cannot believe how much stuff you can find about Orchardville on the internet. So that just gave me tons of information. And I said, well, I want to carry on Vera's work.
Okay. All right. So it started in grade school, a grade school fascination with Orchardville, and now it's turned into a book. We'll talk more about the book in just a few moments. We're talking with Jim Knaus here on the Community Connection. Stay tuned.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
Here's what happens when you get wiser. Your life gets better because you quit doing stupid stuff. I have figured out the less stupid stuff I have, the better life I have. You know, that's fairly simple, isn't it? You kind of get back what you put out. You reap what you sow. If you plant corn, corn grows. If you plant stupid, you grow broke and desperate. You know, you're going to get a crop of something in your life. What's your crop going to look like? Dave Ramsey here. We talk common sense for your dollars and cents. Weekdays at 4 on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Jim Knaus, and he has written a book about the history of Orchardville. And now I have to know, you told me as we were talking before the show, do you know how Skillet Fork got its name?
I know. I am one of the few people that probably really knows about how Skillet Forks got its name, and it's a very interesting thing. I can't believe that I found this on the internet, but I did. And back in the early 1800s, it was fairly common for Europeans to come to America and take adventures and travel to the frontier. Uh-huh. And I actually found a book that was published in 1818 titled Notes on a Journey in America from the Coast of Virginia to the Territory of Illinois. And in that book, it mentions Skillet Fork.
Okay.
In it, the explorer noted that he encountered a rude society, a wretched fare at the Skillet Fork River near the Wabash River. So the point being here is as early as 1818, the name Skillet Fork was there.
Right.
He described the family as half-naked, rude, pale yellow skin, and dirty. Not a very flattering opinion of us. But the second book I found, well, that was the one that shows the earliest mention of it. But where the name Skillet Fork comes in was in a book published in 1828 titled, well, this is pretty long, but Letters from the West, containing sketches of scenery, so on and so forth, of the first settlements of the western sections of the United States.
Okay.
And reminder, this is about the time that Orchardville was settled, and the author wrote that there is a branch of the Wabash River called Skillet Fork. To give you an abbreviated version of it, these men were traveling up in this area chasing Indians.
Okay.
And the Indians crossed the flooded Skillet Fork, And so the soldiers or the Rangers were on the other side, and they were afraid to cross. And finally, one of them was brave enough to jump in with his horse, and it almost drowned.
Oh.
And it happened to be that he was the one that was in charge of the cooking utensils. And he had the skillet with him.
Well, okay.
The skillet was the one skillet, and it was very valuable to him. And anyway, he lost that skillet when he was trying to cross the river. And so that's where the name skillet comes from. And
okay.
I think maybe the name fork actually is not the utensil, but the fork of the Wabash and Skillet River.
Okay, so it's just a fork of the Wabash.
That's what I'm thinking. And so anybody that's interested can search that on the Google and see the whole article, but that's how it got its name.
So you come across these references on Google, and then you find the books?
Yes, it's actually in Google Books and sort of a historical genealogy section. Anybody can do it.
Okay.
And it's the actual book.
Okay.
Electronic.
So in 1818, we have the first mention of the skillet fork.
Right.
And then in 1828, the explanation as to why it's the skillet fork.
And he goes into detail, so it's a little more interesting than what I did there, but it's very long. So.
Okay. All right. So when did Orchardville become Orchardville?
Well, actually, it's sort of started back in the 1820s in the Brush Creek area, and which is near where Orchardville is. But around that time, the some of my family, in fact, came into the area, again, chasing Indians, and saw the area and liked it. There was the Hensons, the Hargroves, Hawes, Sessions, Metters, Chapman's, Burkitts, Forth, and Warrens are some of the names that are still around the area. But they started settling that area about that time. Little by little, it sort of started getting a blacksmith shop and that kind of thing, but no settlement really. And it was known as Dogtown.
Okay.
Obviously because it had a lot of dogs, I guess. But it really didn't start becoming a real town until it was about 1873. It got a post office and became AID, A-I-D.
Okay.
And that was the original name of it. Really don't know what how it got that name. But anyway, this year, AID would be 146 years old. So Orchardville actually established about 146 years ago first as AID.
Okay. All right. How did the name change from AID to Orchardville?
Well, that's a sort of a long story, but okay. I'll try to give you an abbreviated version here, so let me know how I'm running on time.
Okay.
In 1866, a man in Flora, Illinois, came up with the idea of planting an apple orchard. And so he planted 32 acres. And so apples take about 10 years to mature, and so 10 years later, that 32 acres earned him $3,000. Well, that was like finding gold in the Yukon to people in southern Illinois, that they, you know, could make much more money with less effort by having gardens. And so the next thing you know, the apple orchard gold rush was on. And in 1888, the Wayne County Press noted that Brush Creek section of the county had the best orchards. The Daily State Journal noted that Wayne County and the southern half of Clay County had 20,000 acres of orchards, and Bureau County News, it was making national news, noted in 1892 the desire to secure orchards is almost a mania, estimating that in the past 3 years, 1 million trees have been planted down here. This may be too many details, but in 1892, Clay County produced more apples than any other county in the country, and Wayne County was number two, believe it or not, in the nation. So it was huge. One thing that sort of describes the scenery of it is the St. Louis Republic newspaper sent a reporter out by train to see the area in 1897, and he said the county surrounding the towns along the railways is almost one solid orchard.
Wow.
It mentioned that the trees were a mass of blossoms, so you can sort of see that huge acreage with nothing but apple blossoms. Must have been beautiful.
Yes, must.
So the long story short, Orchardville started to really boom. And so Orchardville's golden age was from about 1890 to about 1910. And, of course, the orchards brought in other jobs like the apple evaporators, the dryers for the apples.
Right. Cider makers. And,
yeah.
Vinegar makers.
And so back to your point about how did Orchardville get its name, well, the citizens there in 1891 thought, we need to have a name that's more appropriate for us. And so Wayne County Press had an article in it said the new name is appropriate to this place, and we hope to see the people strictly adhere to it and let the names of Aid and Dogtown die.
Oh, okay.
And to this day, sometimes derogatory, people call Orchardville Dogtown to this day, and I think even back then they were offended by it, and so they want to make sure that it stopped it.
Okay.
And one little other tidbit there, well, the highfalutin Orchardvillians at that time said, hey, we can't have live in a township named Brush Creek. It's too backwoodsy.
Right.
And so they also changed the name of Brush Creek Township to Orchard Township at that time.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. We are talking to Jim Canals. We're talking Orchardville history here on the Community Connection. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Want a $100 bill? Hey, $100 bill. Who
every weekday morning at 7:50 and Saturday morning at 8, it's auction time. Auction time tells you about the unique items on the block in the region. We give you the headline items during the week and then actually get into details with the auctioneers on Saturday morning. Auction time, weekdays at 7:50 and again on Saturday morning at 8 on the station listened to, not just heard, WFIW and WFIWradio.com.
$145.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Jim Canals. He has written a book about Orchardville and its history, and you can get that book by emailing him at jimcanals@sbcglobal.net. So the golden age of Orchardville was 1890 to 1910.
Correct.
Okay, so what was Orchardville like in the golden age?
Orchardville was on its way to be a big town, and it was trying to be classier. They had people that had libraries there. They had music classes. You could tell that the community was pulling together and really trying to make it something. But one of the things is that Orchardville, to me, was sort of like the entertainment destination of the area.
Really?
Yes, believe it or not. There's several newspaper articles back in that time talking about people coming to Orchardville and going home, and I can't remember their exact words, but you could tell they were hungover.
Oh, okay.
And broke, they said. They had two major events, and I don't know the exact number of people there, but I'm guessing it must have been in the 500 or 1,000 people range. They had a 4th of July celebration. And it attracted people from miles around. It was even advertised as far away as McHenry, Illinois. I'm not sure where McHenry is, but I know it's not near here. Carbondale. And the other event was started out as a soldier reunion that was held the last week of August or the first week of September. And it morphed into later to be a modern woodman old settlers reunion.
Okay.
And both of those were held on the southeast side of town in a park, and they had tons of entertainment. And some of it's sort of humorous in a way. They had carnivals, midways, and believe it or not, one paper said that the highlight of this year's animals were the blind tiger.
Okay.
And I can imagine to this day seeing an animal like a tiger in Orchardville.
Right.
And that was one of the big ones. They had steam-powered swings and steam-powered, what's it called, merry-go-rounds. And they had, you could buy food there on the midway. Even later on, I think around 1901 or early on, they actually had a movie picture show there.
Oh, really?
And I think it may be that famous Dawson one that was one of the earliest movies. They had singing, and they would even have a, in the tent, one was a girl singing, "It's Apple Blossom Time," and you know that's sort of appropriate for Orchardville. And they had a projection on behind her of an apple tree.
Okay.
Which, you know, this is way back there. But my favorite...
It's a multimedia presentation.
Yes, there you go. All they needed is a radio.
Right.
But they had congressmen come and speak at it, so it was a fairly big deal. But my favorite one is the Captain Jack Reno Snake Show. And Vera Henson, years and years ago, told the story. But Vera, and no offense to Vera, I really liked her, but she could embellish a little bit on things. And so when she told this story, I always thought it was embellishment. But I actually found an article in the newspaper from back in the 1901 or something, about the show.
Okay.
Well, the Captain Jack Reno Snake Show involved Captain Jack having a pit that he would put rattlesnakes in from around the area. He'd go over to Skillet Fork and find them. They were okay. Fairly common there. And he would put his wife and infant baby in with him. And so you paid a dime to get to see that. Well, in Sailor Springs, her name was Mountain Nail. Mountain Nail, a snake got ready to strike her baby in Sailor Springs, and she stuck her hand in front of it to protect the baby, and the snake bit her and killed her.
Oh, okay.
Well, that didn't stop Captain Jack. He was back to Orchardville 2 weeks later and with the show, and he got bit down there, too, by the same snake. So that was sort of my story about that. But it was a huge deal. There's one picture I think was taken after one of those, and it shows quite a few Orchardvillians standing around.
Okay. So it was actually an unimaginable amount of entertainment for the era.
Oh, yes.
And in Orchardville.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was a 2-day event, too, so people even stayed there. So.
Oh, okay. Is there a place to stay in Orchardville?
No. I guess they camped out.
Camped out? Yeah. Okay. All right. We're talking to Jim Canals about the history of Orchardville and Orchardville in general, and we will be back in just a few moments with more. Stay tuned.
Hi, Mike Reith here, and I just helped the Wayne County Humane Society by nominating it for free cat litter from catspride.com. I went to the website, gave them my email address, and nominated the shelter here in Fairfield. If you do the same, it'll help with one of the greatest needs in caring for cats at the shelter. It's simple. There's no obligation. It took me a minute. So go to catspride.com. Follow the prompt to the Wayne County Humane Society. It will help. Thank you.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Jim Canals, and he has written a book on the history of Orchardville. It's quite interesting. And you can get that book by emailing him at jimcanals@sbcglobal.net. All right. And Orchardville in its heyday up until 1910 had quite a reputation, huh?
Yes, it did. I think it's still might, or at least I know whenever I lived here. I left here in 76, and even back then, you know, people would sort of, you're from Orchardville, okay. But anyway, I think the one that really highlights its unsavory reputation back then was a 1909 article in the Centralia paper,
okay.
To where a man was going to travel from Centralia to Orchardville, and it said that he stopped by a man's house to borrow a gun because he was traveling to Orchardville and because the community had such an unsavory reputation.
Well, where did that come in, the unsavory reputation?
Well, it was partly earned.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, it was a destination for entertainment, and so there was a little whiskey going on there at the reunions, too. You could buy whiskey there at the reunions.
Oh, okay.
And then in the book, I list out several major crimes, some shootouts, thievery, murders, attempted murders. One that really struck me is where around 1910, I think it was, an older guy was in town and some kids were sitting on the sidewalk and they were being rowdy some way. And he went over and told them, you can't do that. And one of them said, you can't make me or something. And the guy drew out a razor blade out of his pocket. And I thought, okay, if you're carrying a razor blade around... That's pretty bad, but you know, I told you about the reunions. Well, Orchardville had a constable, and he actually wrote for the Wayne County Press's Brush Creek section of the paper, and he was a really colorful guy, but his name was Old Brush Creek Bill, and he was the constable, and at one of the 4th of July celebrations, he had to stop a fight with his .44, at the steam swing. But whenever he was getting older, he wrote a his history, and it said that he wrote in there that he shot five men during his career and four before. So,
okay, so the unsavory reputation was well earned.
I don't know about well earned, but it certainly there was a reason for it.
Okay, all right. So is that part of the decline, the reputation?
No, I think that probably made it popular. It
was, okay.
A little risque to come to Orchardville.
Okay, so what led to the decline?
Well, as the saying goes, all good things have to come to an end. And what was making Orchardville so popular was the orchards. And the farmers must have got a little... I'm not sure lazy is the right word, but complacent.
Okay.
And didn't take care of their orchards. And so whenever you don't take proper care of your orchards, and the main thing is if you don't clean the brush around the trees, mm-hmm. it brings on bitter apple rot. And okay. So about 1902, the first bitter apple rot came into the area. And by 1909, it had destroyed almost all the orchards, and people started... plowing them under at that point. So about 1909, farmers returned to growing crops, but it was all because of the bitter rot.
Oh, okay. So because of the decline in the orchards,
there goes Orchardville.
In Orchardville.
Yeah, okay. I think, yeah.
All right. So what did you find out while researching this that you were totally surprised by?
Oh, wow. Well, just how popular Orchardville was back then, that reunion, just in my opinion, whenever I read all these articles about it, was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, people coming from miles and miles around is sort of the biggest thing that's jumped out at me.
Any of the articles have numbers of people?
Well,
crowds?
Yes, no, and maybe. Vera, back in the day, indicated there might be 1,000 people, but there's no way it was 1,000 people. Whenever you talk about population there, it's more of the township, and mm-hmm. there might have been 1,000 people in the township, but there certainly wasn't in Orchardville. Orchardville was actually laid out for lots.
Okay.
And don't see if I have – oh, there was 48 house lots in Orchardville and 16 business lots. And so if you imagine that there's four people in each house, even that's 200 people
right.
at the most. So I would say 150 is probably about as big as the actual town got.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you, in your research, find that anyone famous came to Orchardville?
Well, there's three that I'd sort of, I've listed more than this, but I think that the top three might be one that's very famous. And I'll see if you know about this one. Do you know about the Indian Lydia story?
No.
Okay, this is another one that many people know about this one, but if they don't, I think they might find this interesting. There was, back in 1835, there was a Indian woman that was found wandering around White County and near the Skillet Fork and Wayne County.
Okay.
So anyway, she was living on the land and so didn't have a house, and so neighbors would see her in their gardens once in a while. So anyway, some of the families, my family, the Hensons, decided to go capture her and bring her into the house. And okay. So they went down, they got her, and brought her back to their house, and she stayed with them until she died. And she's fairly famous, and if you look her up on the internet, there are some good articles about it. Some thought that she was part of the Trail of Tears because of she was a Cherokee, and okay. there's a story about it. But she was too early for the Trail of Tears, so that's not really right. But anyway, read about that. That's a very interesting story from Wayne County. She's buried up at the Henson Cemetery in Brush Creek mm-hmm. area.
All right.
Probably the most nationally famous one was a man by the name of Merrill Harmon. He was an NBC national broadcaster, and so back in the 60s and 70s, you would have heard him on the national sportscast. He did several Major League Baseball teams, and he was replaced by Bob Costa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what were the families that laid out Orchardville? What were the founding families?
Well, the number one, the Hensons were more in the suburbs.
Oh, okay.
But the fourths, F-O-R-T-H-S's, were probably, I would say, the leading one. They were large family. They one of them, I can't remember his name now, was a state senator. And then the Warrens, I think, would have to be the two that come to the top of my mind that were the early Orchardville people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any got a limited amount of time, so is there any story that we need to know about Orchardville?
Well, I think the big thing is that I think Orchardville is back on the upcoming.
Okay.
It's fairly busy right now. They've done a great job with that Skillet Fork restaurant there. Mm-hmm. It brings people from all over the place. And then, of course, I think that several people have shown that you can run a business in Orchardville and be successful, like the Fry Farms are down there,
right.
International, George Smith. I think it may be back on the upswing.
Okay. All right. And what is the name of the book?
It's the Encyclopedia of Orchardville.
Okay. The Encyclopedia of Orchardville, and it can be yours. You email Jim Canouse at sbcglobal.net, right?
Correct.
All right. Jim, thanks for coming in, and thanks for sharing this information.
I enjoy talking about it.
All right. Thank you. That's going to do it for today.